This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
After all, they're just wrestling, right?
Woo! We'll break your bones! We'll grind you into pudding! We'll turn your faces off!
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective, with three fans who know how to talk some trash.
Without further ado, allow me to present the newest sensation of the entertainment world,
Zane Peterson.
Well, he's doing really, really well blocking those punches with his face.
Ajay Salveson.
I'm feeling such an odd mixture of pride and mortal terror.
There is a creature alive today who has survived millions of years of evolution without change. Without passion and without logic.
Dave Denton.
A mindless eating machine.
Ready, master control?
Ready, switch on.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I'm taking the trash out.
Hello, Turnbuckle Trash fans. Dave Denton, Ajay Salveson. Thank you so much for being here. Dave?
Huh?
Dave.
What?
Dave.
What?
Dave.
What?
Dave.
What?
You there?
What?
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Hey.
What?
So glad to have you with us. Hey.
What? It sounds like an old Stone Cold Steve Austin thing. What?
So are you feeling good from the last time we talked?
Better.
Okay, now we say better. Am I...
No poopies, no barfies.
So we're going to have no issues today.
No issues.
Oh, thank goodness. That is so great to hear. Dave, you are feeling better. You sound like crap still, but you feel better. That is what's important to us.
I sound wonderful. All the time. Just ask me. You didn't ask me.
We're not going to.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, it's so good to have you with us. Thank
Still
you, fans,
great.
For listening to us. Quite an event that take place. Last Thursday, we did a show recapping Hell in a Cell, previewing Tables, Ladders, and Chairs. Not only 12 hours later, that podcast released a preview was thrown into limbo, then into a shredder, into pieces. Just a really bad virus, infection virus, if you will, caught three of the WWE superstars, two of them, Roman Reigns and Bray Wyatt, in main impact matches that ended up having to kind of stir the pot. Now, I remember in 2001, Tom Brady was on the sideline. He was a second-year player. Drew Bledsoe, who was picking, had just signed a $50 million contract extension with the New England Patriots. Playing the Jets in week 3.
Yep.
Of course, he runs to the sideline on a scramble, gets blown up by Mo Lewis, suffers a severe injury, is pulled out. Tom Brady comes in to start, would not miss the start the rest of the way. Has AJ Styles done a Tom Brady to Mr. Bray Wyatt? We're going to be talking about that in a little bit. This is going to be just crazy. But let's talk, first of all, about this infection. Really, it was less than 12 hours after our pod last Thursday that this thing hit.
Honestly, I had to, I do a little editing and put in what we call the drops, the little funny pieces in between segments that you hear are not necessarily all funny, but all the little pieces in between. So I was putting that all together, and I had it ready to go, and I had a little emergency at work, so I had to go take care of that at the radio station. And I come back, and I get a text from Chris Evans, and I get a text from Zane saying, what in the heck's going on here? So I did a little research, went on to ESPN.com, and they actually had a statement from the WWE saying that Roman Reigns, Bray Wyatt, and also JoJo, who is Bray Wyatt's friend, let's just say that, because there's a divorce action in there somewhere, but she also has some sort of viral infection. People have been talking meningitis, mono, whatever it is. It's viral. It is serious enough that they were not medically cleared to be there, and that just threw everything for a loop Friday afternoon, Saturday, and Sunday.
48 hours they had to replace Bray Wyatt and Roman Reigns into big-time matches. That's not an easy cue. And if you watched TLC, we'll get into it, you're going to find out why it was such a mess at times. But you're going to also find out why it worked out for one superstar who put on a show.
Actually, I would say it worked out great for two superstars.
Okay.
And we'll get more into that because I thought both of them knocked it out of the park before we started. you were saying, and I'm going to agree, could be the match of the year.
Right now it's a front runner, if you ask me.
Unreal match, great stuff.
Divas also really stood out. The Divas were incredible. Their matches, by the way, that pre-show match, which we usually yawn for, you get your popcorn, your drinks, and you come back for all the main events. That actually, if you missed the pre-show, you missed a darn good match.
Cool.
Dave Denton, AJ Salveson, this is Turnbuckle Trash. We're going to go ahead and recap TLC coming up next.
Hey, MSR.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, do you like geeky things?
I love geeky things, Chunky Larry.
How much do you love geeky things?
I would say at least a 7.
A 7? That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot.
I mean, I have a few places on the internet I go to.
Well, the one place you want to go on the internet is geeksoftheindustry.com, because it's got geeks at the beginning.
Oh, that's a good point. Geeksoftheindustry.com, you say. What is that about?
Well, you know, it's got a little bit of everything. It's got cartoons, movies, music, video games, wrestling. You know, anything that's geeky that you're into, you'll probably be able to find at geeksoftheindustry.com.
I can watch all of those things?
No. It's a podcast website. You listen to things.
Oh. Ooh, podcasting.
You can download them from the website, or you can, you know, subscribe to one of the shows on Stitcher or iTunes.
What was that website again?
That's geeksoftheindustry.com, my good friend.
I'm going to go right now.
Yeah, sorry, my brother. You've got to get your own.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
The greatest wrestler in the history of wrestling? He was so good that he wore an outfit with the words "fair play" written across it. Like, I'm so good, I don't even need to cheat to beat you. It's kind of my idol.
You're changing your Depends over to diapers.
I sentenced them to deletion.
Depends over to diapers.
Delete.
Again, welcome back, Turnbuckle Trash fans. Dave Denton there, AJ Salveson here. So glad to have you along with us for the ride. Remember, if you want to join us on social media, you can do it on Twitter at Turnbuckle Trash. You can also follow me on Twitter at AJ Salvy. That's AJAYSALVY. You can follow us on Facebook on our Turnbuckle Trash page. Comment, likes, questions, whatever you got. You wanna throw in your support for a wrestler, please do. Dave, do you have a Twitter account?
No, I'm old.
Okay, it's not like it's comp. It's not comp. I mean, you work this stuff. I think you can work a Twitter account.
Well, I
you got
I
140
need to,
characters
to
screw something up. I mean, it's not hard.
I don't spell too good either. So,
well, yeah, I know that.
Hey, before we get on Facebook, I want to say hi to Mike Calvin.
Okay.
Mike Calvin, I think, lives in Tennessee, and he's one of our Facebook followers.
No kidding.
And he made some great comments before TLC on Facebook last night.
He and I
were kind of going back and forth about what was going to be going to happen. And so, Mike Calvin, thanks for joining us on Facebook, and thanks for your comments. And thanks, Andrew Sowell. I also made a couple of comments too.
Andrew. So, yeah. Andrew and Mike.
And Andrew is going for the UCW Heavyweight Champion on November the 4th at the event in the complex in Salt Lake City.
No kidding.
I'm going, yes.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's cool.
He does everything just so well. And he likes cheeseburgers.
Will you keep us updated on that, please?
Will do.
That's awesome. All right, let's get into it, Dave. TLC in the Beef Target Center in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Pre-show match. We talked about it, and we kind of alluded to this earlier. Sasha Banks beats Alicia Fox. Now, Alicia Fox on Raw the previous Monday had attacked Sasha Banks pretty good. Did a number on her. Sasha Banks comes right out of the gates and just lays a whipping. In fact, this match wasn't even close from the get-go.
It was a squash? I didn't see it.
Absolutely. Banks, I mean, Alicia Fox, I mean, they had their turns, you know, talking trash. The Fox kind of, in regards to verbal, I mean, Alicia Fox got the better of her. But in regards to physical in-ring fighting, it was Banks and Banks alone. She was money. No pun intended.
Banks.
Yeah.
The bank statement.
You know.
No, that wasn't that funny.
At times in the match, Fox did wear down Sasha Banks.
Yeah.
Alicia's
a solid performer. They never do give her enough credit. She plays that crazy character so well, too.
Oh, yeah. No. That's the interesting thing now, because Banks does hold on, clamps on the bank statement onto Fox. Fox ends up losing the match. Now, for the boss, Banks, this could help her kind of get there in regards of, I think it's time for a title shot, maybe even a title reign for her. For Fox, she's kind of in limbo, but she did a great job in this story. Uh-huh. And so I hope they can find another role for her.
That'd be awesome.
I mean, I'm not sure where you go with Alicia Fox, but...
Well, she, at first of 205, she was like a manager.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And at 205 Live, and she's been on Total Divas, and she has been a champion in the past. I think she's underused. I mean, she's one of those performers that every time I see her, especially when she's playing the heel, when she's playing this crazy character, I love the way she reacts to the crowd and reacts to the other wrestlers. I think they are to use her a little bit more.
That was the appetizer. Let's go ahead and get to the main dish, the turkeys and potatoes of it all.
Turkeys and potatoes. Oh. It's almost Thanksgiving. Thank you. Turkeys and potatoes. I've never heard of that one.
Do you want me to say gravy and potatoes? Do you want me to say beans?
Meat and potatoes.
No, it's turkey and potatoes. It's always turkey.
He don't, as Booker T says, he don't want no salad. He don't want no vegetables.
Dave,
all
stop.
He wants
Dave,
is
Dave.
Meat.
Hello? Hello? Yes. Yes, I'm looking for Dave Denton's brain. Is he? Oh, it's absent. Okay. I'll be back in an hour or so. Yeah.
Denton's brain?
Just finishing a podcast. Sorry.
Denton's brain? Denton's brain.
Let's get on to it. Asuka defeats Emma submission style. Now this match, okay, so Asuka's supposed to be this dominating, intimidating force. Emma was the offense for, I'd say, 80% of the freaking match.
I honestly, if you remember back in the last pod, I thought it was going to be a squash match. I thought
it should have been. It's supposed to be.
But Emma really showed very, very well. Asuka, I think they're setting up Asuka for little Miss Bliss in the near future, and Asuka will become the women's champion very soon. I think they're gonna. They might do something with Sasha and Bayley with Asuka, but I think they're setting up Asuka.
The unbeaten former NXT women's champion. Nice little grand entrance, a showcase into her pay-per-view debut. But they've got to make her more dominant than what they made her on Sunday.
And she has hair that looks like rainbow
sherbet.
She Sherbert.
Did. Now, I mean, she did get a bunch of suplexes in, locked them up with the Asuka lock. That kind of put the lights out for that match. But you remember back in WCW when Goldberg made his debut and had like a 59-0 streak?
Yeah.
Just was crushing people. Same needs to happen here. They need to take that paper, rip it out of WCW's book, and give it to Asuka. I mean, they really just need to make her dominating, at least for the next, and this just sounds weird, for the next 2 months.
You know,
give her some momentum.
They did similar to that when she was in NXT because they always compared her to Goldberg in the title reign and how undefeated she was. And she actually beat Goldberg's undefeated streak in NXT, which is different than WCW, by the way. But... yeah, they did similar. I wouldn't be surprised if they have her winning 20 or 25 matches before one of the heels turns on her or something.
Asuka's being presented as a babyface. Agree? Or do you agree with the decision or no?
Yeah, I agree because you've got a great heel in Alexa Bliss. And there is a hole right now in the women's division because of Nia Jax. Nia Jax is either on personal leave right now or she has walked out of the company. Conflicting reports that she did a Neville and walked out over some sort of issue with management. But also, put that in perspective, there's also been reports that the WWE says she's on personal leave to take care of personal business.
Two Divas matches, two submission wins.
It was great.
It's kind of impressive, actually.
And Asuka, she's a great performer. She's got a wicked smile. I mean, just a smile.
Yeah.
But then she turns it on and does all these really high-impact moves that a lot of the female wrestlers don't do. And she's a great performer. I'm seeing big things for her in the future.
Next matchup, Cedric Alexander, Rich Swann to beat Jackson Gallagher and the Brian Kendrick. This one's via pinfall. Match got off to a kind of a slow start, picked up pace as we went along. A couple of I guess, I mean, the high-flying offense of Gallagher really kept the match in place, if you will. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I just, meh.
I thought as far as for a while, the crowd was into it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the crowd was getting into it. I heard, you know, we want tables a couple of times in that, but...
So Swan takes out the competition with a Phoenix Splash on Kendrick, a super kick on Gallagher. Alexander sweeps in to hit his lumbar check finisher, which, by the way, is really good.
That is really cool. The lumbar check, boom!
Hits it on Kendrick, gets the 1-2-3 once again. Cedric Alexander, Rich Swan, your winners over Jack Gallagher and the Brian Kendrick. Third and final Diva match of the night, and once again, these Divas really did stand out. Thank goodness. They were fantastic from start to end. This one was the Women's Championship. Alexa Bliss... champion.
Little Miss Bliss.
Gets her win over Mickie James to retain her title. I'm really actually surprised that Alexa Bliss won this match.
I am too. I thought they would put the belt for a short time onto Mickie. But man, what a match. It was really... Alexa Bliss, I don't know if... I haven't seen her trying to play the baby face yet. I imagine she will be playing a baby face in the sometime in the future. But... as a heel, she's got this look about her. She's a beautiful lady. I mean, she is gorgeous, but she's got this really a sneer on her that just sets it off. And when she does her heel moves and the things she does as a heel when she talks, her ring psychology with that, she's learned that so well, even though she is a smaller woman. I think she's only like 5 foot tall.
Yeah. For a few that's really overachieved, and done more than they've been asked of and gone the extra mile, you kind of knew this match would be the payoff for all of that. And really, Bliss owned James for quite a while in that match. I mean, she came out ferocious, stomped her, several pin attempts to try to end the match early. Bliss handled everything really well in good regards stuff. To the physicality. James was just as good. In fact, you know what? You walk out of that match saying both of them have the momentum, even win or lose. They still have momentum going forward, which that signifies a darn good match.
That is good.
Once again, Mickie James does lose to Alexa Bliss, who retains her women's championship.
I would say my second favorite match of the night. That was really good. Yeah, it was really good.
Okay. Wow. All right. Cruiserweight Championship on the line. The Cruiserweight Championship has been alive for 13 months now. And in 13 months, we now have 9 title changes. This one, the most recent one, is Enzo Amore.
I am so proud of you.
Shut up, Dave.
What? How do you say it again?
Shut up, Dave.
My name is Enzo Amore.
Beats Kalisto via pinfall to win the title. About as well as you could ask for.
You're soft.
Amore does take benefit of a referee distraction midway through the match, which kind of gains him an advantage.
Yeah, he got the old thumb in the eye of Kalisto there.
Then hits the Jadonzo finisher. Now, afterwards, Amore cuts a pretty darn good promo.
Yeah, he did. Even though he was losing his voice.
Oh, yeah.
Did you notice how gravel?
It was gravel. Yeah.
My name is Enzo Amore.
And then he says, you owe the thanks to me.
Yeah.
No one is to thank but me.
Thank me. Yeah, I don't thank you, the crowd. I got good crowd heat from. I loved it.
The sad part about this is it's a Cruiserweight Championship, but I felt like with all the momentum, and this is really no fault to theirs, because who knew that the next match that we're about to talk about was going to be the standout match of the night.
Woo! That's
but
good.
This one didn't really keep up with the momentum that this pay-per-view had, and it's really, like I said, it's no fault to theirs, because they didn't see it coming. They got blindsided by their... next match.
But Enzo has done such a good job since they moved him to 205 Live. Still on the Raw roster too, you know, by the way. But him turning heel and going on 205 Live has done something to that division that is starting to get them talked about. And their ratings, the people that watch 205 Live, has been going up. So mission accomplished. Enzo Amore. He's a certified G, whatever the that is. What is a certified G, by the way?
And I am a certified G and a bona fide stud, and you can't teach that.
Okay, he's soft, know. And he can't spell.
I'm Indian, dude. I don't know what the crap that means.
Well, I'm Southern, so I don't know neither.
So then I guess we're both in trouble.
Yeah, we are.
It was supposed to be Sister Abigail standing out with Bray Wyatt versus the Demon. That's what this match was supposed to be. The storyline was a little bit foggy for everyone, including us last Thursday when we talked about it. In comes a viral infection, takes out Bray Wyatt, and in steps in AJ Styles. And little did we know, we were going to get, as we've talked about, a match of the year. No buildup. No problem, no shoes, no shirt, let's just dance. We're here in the ring.
Now, there is a little bit of a backstory here that that some people might not know. Both Finn Balor and AJ Styles wrestled in New Japan Wrestling. There's a very popular faction over there that is still in existence, also in ROH now, and also I think there's a faction in one of the Mexican promotions called the Bullet Club. And both Finn Balor and AJ Styles headed up the Bullet Club. Finn came over before AJ Styles did. So there was an excitement when this match was announced, but only 48 hours to build. The crowd was going bonkers.
You knew it was a good match that before the bell rings, the crowd's chanting, "This is awesome."
Yeah, you knew it was a good.
You knew it was going to be all right.
Before it even started, you hear the "This is awesome" chant. And then Finn Balor comes out dressed as the Demon King.
Yep.
And he didn't have that stupid pumpkin makeup on, hallelujah. He didn't look like a jack-o'-lantern, but he came out. And I love that entrance when he does the Demon.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that is an incredible entrance, but what a match.
18 minutes of oohs and ahs and high-flying. In fact, we saw in the span of about 30 seconds, a hurricane run off top rope. And then how do you say this, Gin? Is it the
coup de grace?
The coup de grace.
Coup de grace.
I can never say it correctly.
Because it's not spelled anywhere near the way it
Yeah,
looks.
I mean, it looks like a coup de grace. I mean, that's what you really, every time I look at it, I'm like, coup de grace.
Yeah, the coup de grace. And I got to tell a quick story
please,
about
please,
it.
Please, please, please.
When I was early in my radio career, I was having to read a news story about John Williams, the man who wrote the Star Wars theme, the theme from Jaws, and all those great movie themes. And he became the maestro of the Boston Pops. Well, I had never seen the word maestro, and I'm probably 19 years old or something. And I said Mastero on the radio instead of maestro because it's spelled Mastero. Coup de grace. One more story! Are you ready? Because all these words that pop up every once in a while.
Sure.
At my very own radio station, there was a gentleman who had to do a commercial. There was a guy that had to do a commercial, and it ran because nobody caught it when he's talking about this dessert that they were making, a special dessert for a Christmas buffet. Creme brulee. But creme brule is how he pronounced it. And it stayed on the radio station a good 3 weeks before anybody noticed it. Creme brule.
Can we get back to the match, or do you want to keep talking about your stories of desserts that you can't remember, but then remember?
Anytime we can talk desserts, it's good. Let's get back to the match. Let's get back to the match.
Good gosh.
Golly, Miss Molly.
So the Demon came out really aggressive. Got after AJ Styles. And then AJ Styles turns around and uses a bunch of submission holds. Both men after the match were just staggering.
Yes.
You then had a series of drop kicks from Finn.
And there was that part in the match where AJ's near the ropes. He's on the mat.
Yep.
And Finn's jumping up on the second rope and just stomping on AJ. And then AJ comes back and rolls him through and puts the calf crusher on. It was an incredible spot. Loved it.
So Styles hits a spine. Okay, in a span, this is how good and fast-paced this match was. Baylor hits a beautiful, and I'm going to butcher this, a tope con hilo.
Creme brule.
Styles then turns around and hits a spine buster.
Good.
But then Finn Baylor comes back. Styles blocks a coup de grace. Yes. Tries to knock Baylor off the top rope. Finishes with a Pele kick. Lands a Hurricane Rana. Okay, all in the ring. But then Baylor kicks out of it. Turns around. Pair of shotgun drop kicks and Styles. 1, 2, 3. That's your match. And that's probably your match of the year.
Ooh, it was incredible. Great. It was better than a creme brule.
Or a coup de grace.
Or a coup de grace.
To the face.
You know, I will, the crowd was into it because you could tell there were a lot of wrestling fans that knew the story of the Bullet Club. And then at the end, when the two were facing each other and they did the Too Sweet sign, and the crowd went bananas.
They loved it.
Now, there's another little story here that has nothing to do with coup de grace or creme brulee or maestros or whatever. The WWE has sued recently the Young Bucks in ROH for trying to get them to stop doing the Too Sweet.
Yeah.
Now, you remember the Too Sweet started with the NWO, mm-hmm. Kevin Nash and Scott Hall. And when the Young Bucks reenacted the invasion that, you know, that DX did on WCW, they reenacted that a couple of weeks ago. I guess Titan Sports, WWE, was a little bit upset and threatened a lawsuit against them. The Young Bucks get on to ROH TV, and they're doing the Too Sweet. And they just don't care.
It's crazy because it's like a back scene because no one really notices.
Yeah.
I mean, because really, remember when, like you said, whenever when DX invaded WCW, everybody was talking about it the following day. And then it happens now and no one gives a crap.
Yeah, when the Young Bucks did it, there was some internet buzz, but it wasn't nothing like what happened before.
I mean, could you imagine if DX, if the internet, Twitter, and Facebook were alive in 97 and they did that?
That would have been all we would have talked about. Yeah.
Unfortunately for two wrestlers, they had to follow up this match of The Demon and AJ Styles. And I feel really bad for Jason Jordan, who did beat Elias, because no one cared at that time.
No one cared to walk with Elias.
Because you're standing between two main events. You're standing between AJ Styles and The Demon, and then that one and only TLC match.
Yeah, that is the definition of a filler match.
Oh, my God.
Now, they had Elias trying to sing a song twice earlier with Jason Jordan.
It wasn't working.
Throwing vegetables out. But I did like the first time. I don't know if anybody noticed it but me, because I'm always talking about food, creme brulee. Elias was playing the guitar, and Jason starts throwing out broccoli and old banana peels. And he throws something, and it landed on his guitar, on Elias's guitar, and he reached down, grabbed it, and put it in his mouth, started eating. I thought it was funny. Creme brulee.
Crickets. So Jason Jordan does get the win, but action was okay, but the ending was really awkward, because I don't know if Elias kicked out at the slight count of 2.5, or if they just mistakenly did a 3 count. There was no clear definition on that, and maybe
I think
there will
it was done
tomorrow.
On purpose, because you heard Booker T. He had his shoulder up.
Dude, I don't trust Booker T for a word he says anymore. It's too weird. Anyways, Jordan, once again, Jason Jordan does get the win over Elias. So now we go to our main event, which, by the way, the pay-per-view is called what, Dave?
Tables, Ladders, and Chairs, and Creme Brulee.
So the only match involved, Tables, Ladders, and Chairs, no Creme Brulee, was the final one of the night.
Now, before we get into that, I have a problem with this. And it only comes because in the past, they've always had at least one chairs match, just a chairs match, sure. And then one tables match. And now they have the entire card without a single table, without a single chair, and they save everything for the final match. I think it was a mistake. I think they should have at least had a tables match and at least had a chairs match.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. And I mean, I don't know what the viral infection impact would have had on that situation. I don't think it had any.
Yeah, I don't either.
But Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins are joined by Kurt Angle, who finally stepped to the ring after 11 years. He's 48 years old, by the way. They do get the win over The Miz, Sheamus and Cesaro, Braun Strowman and Kane. But problem is that two of those wrestlers, being Braun Strowman and Kane, couldn't get along. Had their little issues.
I told you so.
Fine. You did. You did.
I did.
I don't know where you want to begin, because this was just a train wreck. And a train wreck that, started before it even
Kurt Angle gets injured, what, maybe 5-6 minutes in? I don't know, give or take.
When Braun Strowman did the power slam through the table.
And by the way, Kurt Angle, and we talked about this before we started this, he was huffing and puffing.
Ooh, he was sucking some air once in a while.
He's in good shape, but he's not in wrestling shape. I like how you said that, Dave. This was just full of disconnected high spots, tables that wouldn't break. So
it was funny.
poor one guy, you know, gets thrown into the table. He ends up hitting the bar of the table. It doesn't break. So they set it up onto a corner ring post. Then Braun Strowman throws a fastball using, was it Ambrose? I believe.
It was Dean Ambrose. Yeah.
And, connects for a strike, if you will, down the middle, splits the table in half. So I couldn't imagine what he was feeling. Kane and Braun Strowman. At one point, Kane's gonna hit.
I think it was Seth with a chair. With the chair.
Ducks, hits Strowman, who turns around, shoves Kane. So by the way, at this point, there's only two wrestlers in the freaking ring on one team: Ambrose and Rollins. You have five guys on the other side. You can't finish a match 5-on-2.
But it's the Shield, my man. The Shield, they're superheroes.
Remember, this match was pulled within 48 hours. Yeah, I mean, they had to reconstruct everything. So
you got
to
give them a little bit
I'm
of
sure
a
they were
there.
All. And then you have, you know, Kurt Angle going and then out into the back. So then you're like, well, yeah, okay, this is kind of awkward.
You can almost bet every time someone's taken back to the locker room that they'll come back. You could almost put money on it.
At one point, Booker T brought up a great point, and I mean, he's Booker T, but he says Kane has his own agenda and we don't know what it is, end quote. That was pretty much the theme of the match for every single wrestler, with the exception of The Miz.
I know what his angle was.
Hmm.
He wanted to get some extra publicity for his mayoral race in
Tennessee. That's right. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm surprised he didn't wear like a Tennessee shirt, you know?
The Tennessee Vol shirt?
Yeah.
That would have been great. They probably wouldn't let him.
That's actually probably a good point. Yeah, could you imagine if they have a WWE event in Tennessee, though? What that place is going to be like. We have to keep an eye on that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there was, like I said, there was big moments after big moments, but I think there's a spill of having a 5-on-2 match practically for, I don't know, I think I say 90% of the match, and for them not to be able to finish it, or at least it just looked awkward in trying to finish it, was really kind of took away from the event. Angle does come back. And it's The Miz left and alone in the ring. Then it just ends with a Kurt Angle slam. That's all that really matters. Ends with a Kurt Angle slam. They get the pinfall. 1, 2, 3.
Before the pinfall, they did do their homage.
Oh, yeah.
To their sick comrade in Roman Reigns, and they did the Shield bomb, and then the 1, 2, 3.
Like I said, they had 48 hours, so I'm not going to really criticize them too much.
Yeah.
It was just all over the place. What does this do for the following wrestlers? Let's go through them. I'm going to go through them for you, Dave. Give me a list on each one. What does this do for, first of all, let's just go ahead and combine them, Kane and Strowman.
Strowman is going to have, for some unknown reason, they're trying to put baby face on him because the crowd reacts to him so well. Setting him up with Brock Lesnar in the future, or maybe even going after The Miz and becoming the Intercontinental Champion. I don't see Braun as a face. In no way. He should always be this just monster among men, to coin a phrase. You know, is he selling t-shirts? Is he selling merchandise? Is he getting reaction from the crowd? Yeah, so more power to him.
Where does this put Sheamus?
Sheamus and Cesaro will still run a program for the championship with Rollins and Ambrose.
The Miz?
The Miz. That's a tough one because I don't know if at this point, now we're recording this on a Monday afternoon, Monday Night Raw is still to come. What are they going to do with The Miz now? With the Intercontinental title, you still have The Miztourage. Is Strowman going to go after his title now that Strowman's got the babyface? Are they going to give Miz some time off to do this reality show that we talked about last time on MTV? Does he have another movie lined up? I haven't heard. Is he going to take some time off so he can be with his wife when their child is born? I just don't know. I don't know what. But The Miz, you and I were discussing it while we were watching the match right before this. What a great heel he is. He is one of the best heels that the WWE has come up with in years.
I'll agree to that. Yeah, absolutely. So once again, pre-show match, Sasha Banks does beat Alicia Fox.
Asuka does defeat Emma, Cedric Alexander, and Rich Swann over Jack Gallagher and the Brian Kendrick. Alexa Bliss does retain her title against Mickie James. Enzo Amore wins his Cruiserweight Championship by
Enzo Amore.
Enzo Amoron does beat Kalisto for the Cruiserweight Championship. Match of the year, again, candidate at least. AJ Styles does lose to the Demon, but both of them actually come out winners, if you ask me.
Oh,
and by the way, coming up to Survivor Series, if that's not a teaser, I don't know what is.
Well, is Survivor Series going to be a SmackDown product?
Oh, shoot. Can you? Well, but didn't he transfer from SmackDown for that?
I think they should do it. Just do a second match with Finn and AJ.
Yeah.
At Survivor Series. Unless they have some other plans for AJ at this time, and I don't know what those are right now. So
Jason Jordan does defeat Elias, and again, the final main event TLC match, Kurt Angle, Dean Ambrose, and Seth Rollins defeat The Miz, Sheamus, and Cesaro, Braun Strowman, and Kane. When we come back, we'll put a pretty little bow on this, and we'll wrap it up. That's Dave Denton. I'm AJ Salveson. You're listening to Turnbuckle Trash.
Can we get a creme brulee?
You think of men with menacing, icy stares that could freeze their opponents cold. Brutes who beat their foes into submission.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
Well, Monday Night Raw did not dwell a lot on tables, ladders, and chairs because there was a big under siege by the SmackDown roster. More on that in a little bit. But there was one spot in there where Shane McMahon showed up backstage talking to Kurt Angle, and Kurt thanks him for his use of AJ Styles, which still was the best match of the night during Tables, Letters, and Chairs. Angle made the statement that he would like to have AJ full-time. That's not going to happen, according to Shane. I'm going to do a little update on the 205 Live roster, what's going on there with the new champion Enzo Amore. Juice and I did talk about how Enzo had been losing his voice. Well, they came up with a clever way on Monday Night Raw to have a spokesperson for Enzo Amore. Enzo, of course, is known for his great mic work. And they chose the right person to do this because this is the guy that has been having this petition going around to ban the high-flying acts in 205 Live. And so we're going to make this a great promo, a promo of the week, which we haven't done in a while. It's Drew Gulak speaking for Team Zotrain in the middle of the ring and speaking for the 205 Live and speaking for the Cruiserweight champ, none other than the certified G himself. Here's Drew Gulak. This is fantastic.
And unfortunately, due to a vocal cord injury, don't you hate when that happens? I have a prepared statement on behalf of Mr. Amore. It goes as follows. If you know it, please feel free to say it along with us. His name is Enzo Amore, and he is indeed a certified G and a bona fide stud, and you cannot teach that. Bada boom, realest champion in the room, how are you doing? See, last night Enzo Amore may have lost his voice, but he did not lose the Cruiserweight Championship. No. Unlike Kalisto, he is a bigger letdown than the Green Bay Packers. And as for tonight, team, Lucha Lucha, there seems to be only one word to describe you, and we are going to spell it out for you.
S-A-W-F.
Also on Monday Night Raw, they had the Beast incarnate, Brock Lesnar, coming out with Paul Heyman, talking about this challenge between Brock Lesnar and Jinder Mahal. I love the way that Paul Heyman pronounced Jinder Mahal's name along with the Singh brothers.
The make-believe Maharaja with the sing-along brothers.
So most of the night, there was a lot of talk about what was going to be happening in the upcoming Survivor Series match that is coming up in November, I believe November the 19th, Survivor Series, which will pit Team SmackDown Live against Team Raw. Towards the end of Monday Night Raw, Shane shows up again in the middle of the ring with Kurt Angle and the entire SmackDown Live roster wearing the blue SmackDown t-shirts. Then Shane turns to the roster and says, "Go get him." And they went backstage and beat up the entire Raw roster. That means that Survivor Series is going to get a little heat over the next couple of weeks. Be looking for a retaliation on SmackDown Live. I'm recording this on Tuesday, putting it up on Tuesday, the 24th, so we don't have a complete report on that for you. We'll do that on the next edition of Turnbuckle Trash. But there will be some retaliation, and they're setting up the traditional Survivor Series match from the SmackDown Live roster and one team of men from the Raw roster. They're also doing a women's Survivor Series. That should be interesting. The captain of the Raw roster was chosen in a three-way battle with Alicia Fox, Sasha Banks, and Bayley all in the match. Whoever won the match was going to be the team captain. And surprisingly enough, it was Foxy. Love it. She plays this crazy character so, so well. So really excited for that. After she wins, she hugs and kisses the referee. She goes out and celebrates with some of the members of the Green Bay Packer NFL team that were there. It was a great, great. Congratulations. I think I said in the podcast with Juice, if it hasn't been on yet, it is. I think they've underused Foxy over the last couple of years. I really like her getting a little bit of the spotlight right now. So be expecting a lot of retaliation, a lot of really bad blood between the two brands leading up to Survivor Series November the 19th. We'll have more Turnbuckle Trash coming up.
This is Turnbuckle Trash. Zane Peterson.
You're the greatest guy in the whole galaxy.
Yeah, I'm a real class act.
Now we'll get some action.
Ajay Salveson.
The juice is loose.
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 Dave Denton.
Man, he don't want no bread. He don't want no salad. All he wants is meat.
It's time to take out the trash.
Let's show him what we got, guys.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
Welcome back to Turnbuckle Trash again. Thank you so much for joining us. Dave Denton, Ajay Salveson here. We have just recapped tables, ladders, and chairs at Target Center in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
We talked last time the WWE is coming to Salt Lake City. Zane is actually going to go to that event with his little four-year-old boy. And I don't know yet. I don't know if I can make it down because ticket prices are just unreal. Yeah. So, and you know, it's Christmas time. We had a whole spill on that the last podcast, so I won't get on that. I want to give a shout out to the MK Bandit. Matthew is a friend on Facebook, and met him a couple of times down in Salt Lake City, where he has done some work with the UCW Zero guys we talk a lot about. But he's also involved with Destiny Wrestling out of Albuquerque, New Mexico. He's a manager extraordinaire. He plays the heel. He calls himself the heel. Last weekend, he was in Albuquerque, New Mexico, doing a show there. Angelina Love from Impact Wrestling, TNA. Beautiful woman, a great performer. She was there also. It was a lot of fun to see everything he was posting on Facebook from that. And just wish him the best. We hope to have him back on the podcast soon. Last year, if you remember, right after WrestleMania, we had it was like an hour and a half with him talking about his experience at WrestleMania last year. He is also performing with the House of Hardcore, that is, the House of Hardcore with Tommy Dreamer. We want to get him on to the podcast soon and talk him about his experience of performing at the old ECW arena. That had to be a real thrill for someone who is so involved in wrestling, not only as a performer, as a manager, but he also works behind the scenes promoting. He's done a little bit of it all. So we're hoping to have him on soon. Zane is trying to work on that right now.
Anything else?
Independence. If you get a chance, watch some of the independents. We always talk about them. There are so many independent wrestling organizations. Wherever you're listening to us, Google it. Just Google wrestling organizations in your state, in your city, near you. Give these guys a chance. You're going to see great performers. You're going to see some of the young guys that might be moving up. You can get on to Fight TV. That's a phone app. You can do that. Pluto TV. There's all kinds of apps you can get. You can look up pro wrestling on YouTube. See some of these younger guys. See some of the independents. The production values might not be the same, and some of the moves might not be as sharp, but you're going to see somebody that's going to stick out. I'm going to tell you who right now in ROH wrestling, which is like, I think, third or fourth best major promotion right now, because, you know, WWE's number one. ROH is right up there with me and Lucha Underground and Global Force. I think they just run very close together as far as my love of them. But in ROH, there is a guy I've talked about a couple of times. His name is Punishment Martinez. What a talent. WWE, go after this guy. He's money in the bank. He will be money. He's kind of like the Baron Corbin style, really tall, very muscular. He's got a great look about him, does great moves in the ring, but he's still young, so he's still learning his craft. But if you get a chance to see this guy on ROH, Punishment Martinez, you will be impressed.
Another pay-per-view is come and gone, but another one will come soon.
Come soon. And is it, let me ask you the question, is it too quick? 2 weeks apart.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you can develop a storyline within that amount of time, yeah, I mean, look, there's already storylines on Fuse that have been going for, you know, two or so months.
You
can
use
those
different programs,
but then, you know, if you're gonna have very rare exceptions like the Demon and AJ Styles, which turned out to be just a gem. Is it too soon? Yeah. I could say yes, but then there's been other things that have definitely proven me wrong. So. Yeah. Well, that will do us for another episode of Turnbuckle Trash. Again, Dave Detton, AJ Salson. Special thanks and a really big shout-out to Geeks of the Industry, who do an incredible job. If you don't know who Geeks of the Industry are, well, then shame on you.
Get on them.
How do you find them?
Geeksoftheindustry.com.
You can find anything you want there. Movies, comics. They talk it all. They even do wrestling.
Yes. There's a couple of different podcasts on wrestling.
Yep, and they do a great job. So a huge shout out to Geeks of the Industry. Again, you can find them at geeksoftheindustry.com. If you want to find us on social media, find us at Turnbuckle Trash on Twitter. And then we have a Facebook page, Turnbuckle Trash. Be like Mike. Make comments. Throw concerns out. Throw caution to the wind. Chris Evans, I love Chris Evans' work. I always brag about him. He'll do like selfie videos and talk to us.
Yes, that's awesome.
I eat it up.
And anybody can do that.
Yeah, I love that. I eat it up. Love to hear your thoughts, comments, questions, concerns, even dirty jokes. This is Dave Denton. I'm AJ Salveson. What?
I've got a dirty joke, but I can't tell it. I can't tell it on this podcast because we're family friendly.
Well, you're the dirty joke if you ask me. Thanks for listening to us. That's another episode of Turnbuckle Trash.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Those guys look big and mean. I think they want to hurt us.
What do you call that, a flying springboard knee to the face?
Oh, that works.
I like to hurt people.
Pretending to wrestle is the most fun in the whole world.
The thoughts and opinions heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being. If you don't agree with them, get your own dang pod.
Dummy.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. And in the immortal words of Ric Flair,
woo! Go ahead and get to the main dish, the cookies and potatoes of it all.
No poopies, no barfies.
You can't finish a match 5-on-2.
But it's the Shield, my man.
The make-believe Maharaja!
That's Dave Denton. I'm AJ Salveson. You're listening to Turnbuckle Trash.
Can we get a creme brulee?